We're back here at His Time, blessing your Friday morning with the Word of God, sacred music, interviews, study of God's Word. It's time now to turn to Pastor Warren Wirth and Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, my brother.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. Look, we want to talk about this news about the landing of a probe on a comet, the project called Rosetta. I'm reading here from the European Space Agency project scientist Matt Taylor, who said, Rosetta is trying to answer the very big questions about the history of our solar system. What were the conditions like at its infancy, and how did it evolve? What role did comets play in this evolution? How do comets work? There were flaws with the landing, he went on to say, kind of like a gymnast, you know, in a routine that didn't stick the landing, he talks about. It says the anchoring harpoons did not deploy. When it made impact and screws meant to burrow into the surface didn't work, but it bounced at least twice, they said, and stuck the landing.
Yeah, this is an amazing feat. I think this news is big news, and we as Bible-believing Christians can be excited about it as much as anybody else, because real science is what was involved in planning this, figuring out how to send the rockets there, to get the probe, to work out the math of this.
Sure.
You know, how do you chase down a comet? And it took 10 years from the time it was launched in 2004 to catch up with a comet in August of 2014, and the space probe had to travel something like 4 billion miles. It passed the Earth a couple of times and used the gravitational pull of Earth and I think also later of Mars to kind of increase its speed and to kind of act like a slingshot to get it in the right trajectory, and they succeeded not only in catching up with the comet and then orbiting the comet, but then in deploying the lander that I think was called Philae that landed down on the surface of this comet. Now, the comet itself is about 2.5 miles wide. You know, they've always talked about, I mean, in your schooling, you probably heard comets are dirty snowballs. Well, this looks like it's a pretty rocky thing, and obviously it's got the water frozen in it, too. And in fact, it even has jets of stuff that come out from time to time, so they're testing the soil, they're testing what they can on this. But it's just a fascinating thing, a fascinating accomplishment.
Sure
is.
And
I think what we want to do for our listeners is here to separate what is real science from what is not science, but is a philosophical, religious understanding of things, and that's the whole evolutionary Big Bang millions and billions of years.
You always help us so much in that, Pastor Wirth, and we thank you that, you know, we're not anti-science, are we?
Not at all.
We talk about exploring God's gift of creation and all the marvel of it. He gave us minds and intelligence to do all that. And in fact, the scientific history speaks of Christians playing a big part in this. So as you always remind us and are here, it's not that we're anti-science. It's when science becomes, would you say, a god, a theology, an overarching way of looking things that kind of then closes its mind to everything else?
Indeed. In fact, you know, our friends at Answers in Genesis try to help the public understand the difference between observational science and working science versus historical science, is what they would call it, or the science of origins. And these are two different things, and while they involve some of the same processes, there's a big difference. Observational science, working science, the thing that makes rockets and space probes and computers, is something that deals with observable, testable, repeatable stuff in the present. Okay, and we certainly agree with that. And in the first article of the Creed, we confess that God gave us our reason and all our senses and still preserves them. And certainly when we're using this in the right way, we're really kind of thinking God's thoughts after him as we look at the world, the universe that God created, try to figure out how things work and to do useful things like coming up with medicine and machines that can help people. That's wonderful. That's a right use of our reason. That's a right use of the gifts that God has given us. But where we go astray is when we act as though there is no God. Everything is just material, matter and energy that's been around without any creator from the beginning, and things just happen by random chance over millions and billions of years. And then people begin talking about that as if, you know, who needs God? This is all a reality that you can expect and explain without any creator at all. And that's where this whole thing goes wrong. So back to the space probe, observational science and mathematics were used in constructing the rockets, in working out the trajectories, and the computers and the controlling systems and the communication systems involved to get this man-made, intelligently designed object to go from planet Earth all the way to catch this comet while it's moving at very rapid speed in our solar system, and then to rendezvous with it, orbit it, and then land this probe on the surface of it. That is an amazing feat, and we praise God that he's given us the ability to do such things. But here's where human reason goes awry, and you read the key statement in that news article from the European Space Agency, where they think that this is going to be the key to understand, to unlock the history and evolution of the solar system. This is going to be the key to understanding what the conditions were like in the infancy of our solar system and how it evolved. You know what? This is not what... Here's where they've taken a left turn, where they're completely off base. You're talking about the distant past. They believe in millions and billions of years. You're looking at something in the present. And while they used the analogy, they say that comets are like time capsules that are virtually unchanged since the earliest moments of the universe. And the question that you and I could ask is, how do you know that? Were you there at the earliest moments of the universe? And, you know, it's amazing that you were able to build a rocket and have your space probe catch up with this comet and land on it, and now you're going to do some tests on it to test, you know, what's the makeup of it, of the rocks and things like this, and that's fine. You know, we're not against that at all. But then that you make this huge leap of faith to think that somehow this is going to unlock the key to the universe, where the solar system came from, where the universe came from, and ultimately where we came from, because this is what they're after. Trying to explain how there could be life when there was no life to begin with, you see? That's what they're after. And so there are people who believe this evolutionary story, this evolutionary fairy tale, that billions of years ago, when the Earth was formed, it was very, very hot, and there was no water. And so, but you look at the Earth today, and there's lots of water. Lots and lots of water. There was no life, but now there's lots and lots of life. So where did all of this come from? Well, some of them believe that planet Earth was bombarded with comets that had water, and that's where the water came from on Earth. Now, it would take an awful lot of comets to bombard the Earth. And then the ingredients for life, which they believe somehow magically, automatically can turn into life, which,
yeah.
Again, observational science tells us that life never comes from non-life.
I was reading here, and they say that's what they're looking for. The answer to that science fiction question, they even say, are we alone? Is there other life out there, even alien life? It says they're looking to see that life can be anything from a single-celled organism to a technological life form far more advanced than humans. We're looking for this extraterrestrial intelligence. So they're not giving up, and they're trying to probe this comet to see if there's evidence of this. And well, as you say,
let's remind our listeners though that for all this looking, and you know, this happens to be with the European Space Agency, but it was also in conjunction with NASA. So it was an international effort. NASA cooperated with it. The probe itself, the European Space Agency designed this and sent this, but NASA was very much involved in cooperating with them in terms of the communication with these huge deep space radio antennas and stuff, so they can communicate with the distant probe and this kind of thing. So it was an international effort, international cooperation. It's a wonderful example of what what can happen when people use the reason and abilities that God has given us, but it also provides this example of reason gone wrong. After mankind's fallen into sin, our reason is corrupted, and we turn against God, we turn in on ourselves, and in this case, try to find a way to explain how life could be, how the universe could be, without a creator. And this flies in as absolutely unreasonable and unscientific, because all observational science in the present, every time we've tried to look at can life come from non-life, the answer is no, it cannot. And yet, it takes faith that it did happen long ago so that there could be life on Earth, and faith that even goes beyond that to say it must happen very often so that there could be life of many forms, as you just said, all over the universe, from single-celled organisms to life forms that are even more advanced and more intelligent than human beings. Now, has anybody ever found that? No. Nowhere we've looked have we ever, outside of planet Earth, have people found any life at all, not even single-celled organisms, not even evidence that there were single-celled organisms anywhere else. Same thing for the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, where we've turned our radio telescopes to the skies and we're listening, looking for a coded signal from somewhere. If E.T. is trying to phone home or trying to let us know, hey, we're out there, we're out there.
Would you say, Pastor, you know, and there's a great book by, I think it's a man named Gonzalez, The Privileged Planet, where it seems like that where we are, you know, stationed and all the rest, we are in a privileged place as our planet for life. And we haven't found anything else, as you were saying, that that occupies that same kind of conditions.
Well, you know, and planet Earth is unique and very special, and yet, let's kind of turn this around. When scientists are looking at the distant heavens and with telescopes and like the Hubble telescope and things like this, whenever they find a planet that they think might be kind of like Earth and kind of hospitable to Earth, to life on, like life on Earth in some potential way, you know, that makes the headlines too. So they talk about planets outside of our solar system that are in the Goldilocks zone, which is to say when they find a planet that is about the same size as Earth and orbiting its parent star in an orbit that where water could potentially be in liquid form, then they say, aha, there's the potential for life there. Now, it's not that they've found life there. They, you know, you're looking at something very, very far away. In fact, most of these planets are actually inferred, not observed. In other words, you notice the wobble of a star, and you infer that's because of the gravitational pull of planets orbiting it, and things like this. So they haven't actually observed optically these planets, but they believe they're there. And what they get excited about is that they believe if there is another privileged planet, then since there's life on Earth that they believe evolved spontaneously over millions and billions of years, guess what? They believe that life could evolve in all these other places too, as long as there is a star with a planet in the Goldilocks zone. Goldilocks because it's not too hot, not too cold, it's just right, so that there can be liquid water, and if there's liquid water, well, then automatically there's going to be life. That's the belief.
Yeah,
that's not true science.
That's where they put this, as you say, not observational science, but this historical view. And I'm reading here they're talking about maybe finding proof on there that there's concrete evidence that technological societies have survived long-term elsewhere. It would be reassuring information for maybe the potential disaster of our own. Pastor Warren Worth, we're out of time today, but thank you for being such a valuable friend and part of the worldwide KFUO.org family. We so enjoy it. We look forward to it every Friday, and God's richest blessings to you, my friend.
Thank you so much. God bless you, too.
And stay tuned. Morning prayer is up next, followed by Law and Gospel. More chances to win an iLutheran t-shirt as our day goes on. All those programs, we got Faith and Family coming up, Law and Gospel, Thy Strong Word. You'll have a chance to call in and put your name in the hat for one of these historic collector's items, iLutheran t-shirt, here on Worldwide KFUO. Stick with us.